with my good time friends, I'm going crazy. I'm going fishing.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Gone Outdoors here on KWSN in Sioux Falls and KFGO, the Mighty 790 in Fargo. Scotty Brewer, Kyle Agri of Brewer Agri Outdoors. And, you know, Kyle, I'm really excited about this segment. This is a gentleman that came on our radar screen thanks to Twin Cities Walleye Unlimited, because he was just there this last Thursday doing a seminar for that amazing group down in the Twin Cities. And his name is Chuck Kruger. He's a professor of fisheries at Michigan State. He's worked for the Minnesota DNR, Wisconsin DNR, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And we could talk forever about what this guy's resume is. But what we're going to chat about is Great Lakes Acoustic Telemetry Observation. Isn't that right, Chuck?
That's correct. And that, it's so many syllables, you might want to use the abbreviation, GLOTO.
I kind of struggle saying that whole thing. And
yeah.
And I can't imagine the work that you do. And, you know, and honestly, the work that you do, and the reason why it's important for us anglers, and as we had chatted off air here a few days ago, you know, it really creates better management, and better management creates better fisheries for all of us anglers, and it makes everybody's world better. You know, and a lot of the work that you guys do kind of is off of the regular angler's radar screen. And I think it's kind of important to get that on their radar screen a little bit so that people know exactly how much background, how much back work there is to this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what exactly do you do with the Great Lakes Acoustic Telemetry Observation? Just real quickly.
Sure. Great Lakes GLOTOS, anyway, sets out acoustic transmitters that are implanted in fish and then helps maintain a receiver network in the Great Lakes that listens for those tags as the fish swim by. And when the swift fish swims by, the receiver records that, has a memory and gives a date and a timestamp. And of course we know exactly where that receiver is. So on that, those receivers sit and listen for a whole year. 24/7, they're listening for those tags to go by. So that's in a nutshell. And then you get into data analysis, and that gets pretty complicated, but pretty interesting.
Well, Chuck, you've captured my attention here, because this kind of information, and I'm certain you're not just tagging one fish. I'm certain you have quite a number of fish that have those tags, and it's tracking each and every one of them and their movements. How do you relate that information back to information that our Department of Natural Resources, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Game and Fish can use and put into practice?
Sure. One of the things I didn't say about those tags is that each tag is an individual, unique identifying tag. So essentially we can tag Bob, Ted, Henry, Alice, and we know where each of those individuals are going. So
wow.
The type of information that we get helps us to know, obviously, where they go at different times of the year. And, for example, we have a lake sturgeon project over by Detroit, and we've identified some critical wintering habitat where most of the sturgeon in the river go, and they hang out during the winter. And, of course, if you disrupted that habitat, that would be a real problem for those sturgeon. So it gives you an idea about habitat protection. Using statistics, you can come up with abundance estimates as well as survival estimates. And, of course, that's good for knowing the population dynamics of the species, and that's how regulations, of course, are set for the fisheries.
Hey, Chuck, I got a question for you. So we're out here in the Dakotas, western Minnesota. You're out in the Great Lakes, and you've been in our area. You worked for Minnesota DNR for a while. Yep. What kind of information does your study do that helps us in our area and fisheries departments all around the country?
Sure. Well, maybe the best example might be walleyes, because We've done walleyes in a number of different places. We have Saginaw Bay, Green Bay, and Lake Erie, where we have projects. But we do see common patterns of what the walleye do over the entire year. In other words, some of what goes on in Saginaw Bay, which is a lot smaller than Lake Erie, is what the Lake Erie walleyes do too. So the information, though it's geographically specific, is, I believe, transferable to other systems. Now, you got big systems on the Missouri River, for example, and they have walleyes, and I bet you the walleyes do some similar things.
Incredible in terms of the information, and like you said, being able to mold that data, look for patterns, transfer it to other bodies of water, and that knowledge is it's just amazing. No doubt about it. Yeah. Chuck, how many years has this Great Lakes Acoustic Telemetry Observation Program been in effect, and how long have you been involved?
I've been involved since 2009, before its inception. I helped establish it, and so it's been in place collecting data since 2010. So it's going on 11 years, going on 12 years, I guess. One of the things on the patterns is we like to have at least 3 years of data before we and see a consistent pattern from year to year to year. And we know that that's a genuine pattern, not just some aberration of a particular year.
So, Chuck, the way I picture this, and this is my deer hunting mind right now because I'm a deer hunter and it's that time of year, and I know you are too because mm-hmm. when we chatted the other day, you just harvested a nice deer. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of how an analogy I use for this. It's kind of like us deer hunters putting our trail camera out and just getting information over and over and over again out of everything that goes by, except yours is on such a grand scale that you, like you said, you have it out there for 365 days and then you pull it up and, you know, in my mind, I'm picturing a really big SD card that you pull out of it.
For fisheries group in general, I mean, we're used to dealing with pretty large data sets, but this was 100 times magnitude of what we normally dealt with. We had to go buy bigger computers to do the processing of the data. Our tags are transmitting every 2 minutes.
Wow.
And they do that. Some of the tags, like we put in some of the large walleyes and large sturgeon, will last 10 years. So think of the number of those transmissions, and if only a portion of them get recorded, but it can be a huge number of gigantic data sets. Most of our data sets in the papers we published have about 20 million detections.
Wow, that's crazy. And I just can't fathom that much information being digested, you know, over and over and over again, year after year. So what agencies, we only got, let's say, a little less than a minute left.
Sure.
What agencies use this information?
We literally have all the 8 Great Lakes states and the province of Ontario involved. Minnesota's involved. Minnesota's had a project on muskellunge and walleyes in the St. Louis River. So that's just one example. But U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, U.S. Geological Survey, and then all the states. Oh, and the tribes, too. So Chippewa, Ottawa, Treaty Fishery Management Authority. Pretty much everybody's involved. And universities, too. We work a lot through Michigan State University and some of the other universities.
You know, that's really cool, Chuck. We really appreciate you coming on, talking to Gone Outdoors, filling in our listeners a little bit on some of the amazing work that goes on behind the scenes. And it's mind-blowing the amount of work and the amount of data that you guys get to make better fisheries for all of us to go out and enjoy. Thank you very much for doing that work, and thank you for coming on Gone Outdoors.
Hey, thanks so much for the opportunity to talk about it.
All right, stick around, and we will be back after this short break with more Gone Outdoors.
I'm going fishing. Fishing for resin, fishing for trout.